Mike Malloy here. Welcome to tonight's program. Thanks for tuning in. So I'm out and about today and listening to Sirius Radio. And I flip over to CNN and I hear there are demons loose in Washington. Demons. Oh, Jesus, not again. Not again. Demons? The Christian crazies have somehow convinced somebody at CNN there are demons, and they kept talking about it. And they even had a name for one. One's name was Pass, Demon Pass. It's like Demon Beelzebub, I guess. Demon Pass. Demon Pass is going to destroy the Congress. You know, I'm listening to this. What in the hell are they talking about? And then I saw it written out. Deem, D-E-E-M, and Pass. It's a technique to get legislation passed that the Republicans have used dozens upon dozens of times, especially in the last 8 years during the reign of Bush and Cheney. And here these commentators are talking about deem and pass, where it concerns the legislation that is this Health Insurance Reform Act. They're talking about it as though it is the worst thing since, I don't know, since taxation without representation by the British. As a matter of fact, let's listen to a real crazy psychopathic woman, Michelle Bachmann. As you listen to her voice, you tell me, this woman sounds like a cartoon character. We were thinking earlier tonight, why not just go through YouTube and find some cartoon character and juxtaposition Michelle Bachmann and, you know, Ronnie the Rodent or somebody and listen to the similarities. But here's Michelle Bachmann. We have two sound bites for you. In the second one, she says Nancy Pelosi has started a revolution against the United States, and she compares Obama to Hugo Chavez, and you can hear the people in the background shouting, kill the bill and send him to Cuba. What the goddamn hell is wrong? This country is in the middle of a massive, massive nervous breakdown. And these pus-filled pimples like Michelle Bachmann and Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh. Oh, and did you hear the right wing now is attacking an 11-year-old. We'll get to that, too. These people are psychopaths. I don't know. Anyway, let's play the first one. This is Michelle Bachmann at a rally in St. Paul, Minnesota, what, on Saturday? This is where she encourages the teabaggers to break the law.
It is this week, and this is the week that Nancy Pelosi plans to put this bill through. But she and President Obama don't get to nationalize one-sixth of our national economy without us voting on it. It's illegitimate. They have taken away from you your franchise, and then you are being taxed without representation. Have you ever heard of that before? No taxation without representation. They have just started a revolution, and they did it.
Oh, my God. Nationalized health care? You goddamn crazy freak. Are you serious? Nationalized health care with this cheesy health reform bill that is a gift to the insurance companies? Where does Michelle Bachmann find the brain dead trolls to vote her into office? Nationalized health care. And these crazy bastards stand there and cheer. Well, Michelle Bachmann, either she is the dumbest psycho in the Congress or the smartest, one of the two.
Obama's idea for Pelosi to pass a bill and have her members vote on something that they never voted for sounds more like a Chavez tactic in Venezuela than Jefferson. Jefferson told us we have a duty to resist tyranny.
Jefferson.
In their bill, enforcing the health care bill. Did you know that?
No!
That's who enforces this health care bill. The
where do these cockroaches come from? Where does a cretin like Michelle Bachmann come from?
Well, I just want to know how it works out for all those Minnesotans who decide, you know, well, she's right, gosh darn it, we're just not going to pay our taxes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll show them. Give me another flapjack over there, Norm.
I just don't.
I'm not paying my taxes.
We watched Fargo over the weekend, and it's lodged in Kathy's head. People in Minnesota are those must be transplants. Those aren't good Presbyterian Minnesotans. Nah. But where? I mean, this is the point that I've been making on this program for 5 years. Republicans lie. Every time they open their goddamn mouths, it's just a lie. It's just a total lie. Everything that comes out of their mouth is a lie. Oh, Lord. Demon pests. Demon pests. Ah, I am the demon pests. See, the Democrats, the problem that they have, all of these things have occurred. Reconciliation, deem, and pass. All these little sick tricks engineered by the House and the Senate. Just like refusing to allow a president run more than two terms. That was Republicans did that because of the popularity of FDR, who got elected four times. But all these tricks that the Republicans have used over and over and over again. But the Democrats, the dumb ass Democrats, never said anything. They didn't stand out there and say, demon, there's a demon. His name is Pass. Demon Pass. There are demons out here. They never said that. Reconciliation. They're passing this bill to give tax breaks to the rich by reconciliation. No, they never did that. So what it sounds like, this is where the Democratic Party is led by a bunch of chumps. It really is. I swear to God, it's led by a bunch of chumps. I can remember going to Washington, D.C. What? This is before Air America. And there were about five of us liberal talk show hosts there. And we met with all the movers and shakers in the House and the Senate. I was really impressed. I don't know how in the hell, whoever put this together. There were only like five or six of us, for God's sake. And we had a steady parade from Joe Biden to Ted Kennedy to just right down the list. All progressives, all liberals, all Democrats. And we told them over and over again, we five liberal radio talk show host kept saying, you are being screwed because you won't speak up. You don't point out to the American public every time you're in front of a camera. Why aren't you talking about Bush's illegal wars? Why aren't you talking about the fact that he gets tax breaks rammed through for the wealthy, but not the working class? Why don't you And I swear to God, these lions of the House and the Senate, these great, big, important Democrats just looked at us like we were speaking Urdu or something. It was amazing. We begged them. We pleaded with them. Let the American people know what's going on here. Oh, well, you know, we don't want to polarize the House and the Senate, you know.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's Mike Malloy.
Yeah, it is. 21 past the hour. Demon pass. I just don't get it with Democrats. They have the They have the high road on just about every issue. I realize they're corporate Democrats. I realize that, you know, we'd be better served if we had a progressive or a liberal party. I understand that. I understand they're lesser of two evils. I understand all that. But looking at the real politic of where we are in the year 2010 in these dying United States of America, the Democratic Party does hold the moral high road and certainly the ethical high road in every single issue that comes up. They vote like cowards. That's the problem. The Democrats in the House and the Senate vote like cowards. They vote for things like the USA Patriot Act. They vote for authorization for money to invade Iraq and then claim that they didn't vote for an invasion, which is exactly true. But nonetheless, it's hair splitting to the point that it makes you wonder what the Democrats are using for brains or guts, courage, ethical conduct. Morality. And in all of those areas, the Democrats are so far ahead of the Republicans as to render the Republicans exactly what they are, half-witted murderers who don't give a goddamn about this country or its people. But I don't understand why the Democrats let this continue to happen. Let's do Michelle Bachmann again. Listen to what she had to say Saturday in St. Paul.
It is this week, and this is the week that Nancy Pelosi plans to put this bill through. But she and President Obama don't get to nationalize one-sixth of our national economy without us voting on it. It's illegitimate.
Illegitimate.
They have taken away from you your franchise,
and
then you are being taxed without representation. Have you ever heard of that before?
I think so.
No taxation without representation.
Oh.
They have just started a revolution, and they did it.
Oh my God.
Let me write that down. Now, in the next soundbite, of course, she mentions Jefferson. Now, Michelle, you're behind the curve. Jefferson is fallen out of favor. Jefferson tried to kick your filthy religion out of the United States, or certainly out of the Constitution, and the crazy people in Texas have decided to kick him out. So you can't keep quoting Thomas Jefferson, Michelle.
Sounds more like a Chavez tactic in Venezuela than Jefferson.
Go to Cuba.
Jefferson told us we have a duty to resist tyranny.
Jefferson.
In their bill, they have the IRS enforcing the health care bill. Did you know that?
No.
That's who enforces this health care bill, the IRS.
Uh-oh.
Sheriffs, prosecutors, but mark my words.
Okay.
The American people aren't going to take this lying down. They can enforce their will on 300 million Americans?
No!
Ship them to Cuba!
This is dictatorial, what they are doing. We are not compelled to follow a non-law.
Oh, shut up,
Obama,
you psycho!
Tells us we have
shut
to.
Up! Thank you. Michael in Roswell says, I do hope that Michelle Bachmann is listed as a co-respondent in every single one of the tax evasion trials resulting from her advice. And Jeff in Washington State writes, I'd like to think that Ms. Buzzed Bachmann is more lucky than good, but she did throw the acronym IRS into her rant. Wait until the baggers and baglets refuse to pay their taxes, and then the government holds up their socialist entitlement program remunerations. Yeah, I looked at the video from Bachmann's rant, and every one of those people are on Social Security, for Christ's sake. They're kidding. What are they there for? Maybe they can no longer afford Viagra, so they go to a Michelle Bachmann rally and get the blood pumping so they can go home and get it on with Granny or Grandpa or whatever. Maybe that's it. I don't know. But these people are nuts. This is and Jefferson. Oh, come on, Michelle. Haven't you heard about Jefferson? You know, in the first place, Michelle, did you know he was sleeping with a slave named Sally Hemings? Yes, indeed. He was. He had children with Sally Hemings. Did you know that? You didn't know that, Michelle? Ooh, doesn't that just turn your stomach, Michelle? My goodness. Polluting that good white stock. My, my, my. We're going to take a break here so I can run and take a quick shower. Every time I hear her voice, I don't know. I just need to take a shower or something. Yeah, we're not going to pay our taxes. You're not? Oh, good. We'll be right back. Let's take a break, all right? This is the Mike Malloy Show. We're going to take a break. You know, there's a demon loose in Washington. Demon Pass. He's a real mofo, I'm telling you.
Raven hair and ruby lips. Sparks fly from her fingertips. Echoed voices in the night. She's a restless spirit on an endless flight. Ooh, witchy woman. See how.
It's about 25 before the hour. So understand some of our listeners are having some listening problems. We were trying to check to see what the problem is. Usual crap, I guess. I have no idea. We'll figure it out. Right now you can get 1.9 APR financing on all 2010 Mini Cooper models. For details, visit MiniUSA.com/info. Email from Kevin. Mike, I was listening to your podcast today from last night, and I had to write to correct two of your statements about Justice Thomas. I'm a liberal and a lawyer and a follower of the goings-on in the high court. It is not true that Justice Thomas has never written an opinion for the court. He may not be the most prolific writer on the court, but he writes decisions for the court every term. Nor is it true that he simply goes along with whatever Justice Scalia writes. Justice Thomas has, on occasion, dissented from majority of decisions written by Justice Scalia. While I can agree with the vast majority of your criticism of the court's conservative bloc, I had to write to correct you, at least on this one. Keep up the good fight against the flying monkey, right, Kevin? Certainly got that one wrong. I Googled Justice Thomas and decisions, and, yeah, there's a lot of them. Thanks, Kevin. I don't know what my reference was. I think my reference was, for the most part, whatever Fat Tony says, Uncle Clarence goes along with. I guess that's it. Right-wing media apparently have decided to target an 11-year-old kid. This is from Media Matters from today. The kid's name is Marcellus Owens, and right-wing media going after him. After he appeared at a healthcare reform event to speak about his mother, who died after losing her health insurance. This is an 11-year-old now. This is why these filthy sons of bitches, I, if the revolution comes, there's several of them that I want. I really do. The attacks follow a history of media conservatives attacking or mocking the uninsured. Remember the attacks by right-wing media on the family of a 12-year-old who, this kid has spoke out in support of SCHIP, you know, the, Medicaid for Children. Marcellus's mother reportedly died of pulmonary hypertension after losing her health insurance because she could no longer work. According to a New York Times report, this 11-year-old appeared, at a March 11th press conference with Senate Democrats and spoke about his mother's death. The Times reported that the boy's mother, Tiffany Owens, died of pulmonary hypertension in 2007 at the age of 27 after losing her health insurance because she could no longer work. She had been an assistant manager at a jack-in-the-box restaurant. CNN further reported that the 11-year-old said at the event, quote, I came out here for health care. I got involved because my mom was a health care activist. She testified and participated in rallies. She wanted people to have health care and not wait till management level to be offered health care, end quote, this 11-year-old. So immediately, of course, these filthy, disgusting half-humans in right-wing media like this pig Glenn Beck wanted to know where was grandma when the boy's mother was sick. On the March 15th, yesterday, a slop fest on his Fox News show, Glenn Beck attacked the boy's grandmother. And she appeared with Marcellus at the healthcare event. He attacked her. Beck attacked her for her work with the organization Washington Community Action Network. The pig Beck said that group was, quote, all about economic, racial, gender, and social justice for all. Pesky phrases. Can you believe this? Somebody should stick his head in a bag. Beck then tied all that to the Soviet Union and the Democratic Socialist Republic in China. Beck said of the 11-year-old's appearance on Capitol Hill, quote, trip was paid for by Healthcare for America Now. That's the George Forrest-funded, Barack Obama-approved group fighting for healthcare. Since all these groups are so concerned and so involved, may I ask, where were you when mother was vomiting blood? Can you believe this filthy bastard? He went on to say, wasn't this a perfect opportunity to help provide a decent quality of life for all, at least for one? You had somebody in your own ranks that knew. Her mother knew. Dare I ask, where was grandma? What a son of a bitch. Kathy, I mean, how do we live in the same country with pigs like this on radio and television? How does this happen? What kind of filthy bastards allow this kind of stuff to be on the air? Attacking an 11-year-old, his grandmother, his dead mother. Beck, you are a piece of human waste. Limbaugh tells the 11-year-old, hey, your mom would have died anyway because Obamacare doesn't kick in until 2014. On the March 12th show of this pig son of a bitch, Limbaugh aired a clip of the boy's remarks at the healthcare event, and then the pig man said, now this is unseemly, exploitative. An 11-year-old kid being forced to tell a story all over just to benefit the Democrat Party and Barack Obama. And then later, addressing the 11-year-old, your mom would have died anyway. You son of a bitch, Limbaugh. You son of a bitch. All of you large, lumpy bastards. I swear to God, time will come. I swear it's going to happen. Crazy Eyes Michelle Malkin, who's probably in this country illegally, said the 11-year-old is the, quote, new dubious poster boy for Dem care. In her syndicated column on March 10th, she wrote, quote, desperate Dems cling to human kitty shield. Can you believe that? Malkin wrote that the 11-year-old, quote, admits he doesn't understand the complexities of health insurance reform and doesn't think it's anyone's fault that his mom passed away. But they could have done more for her, he says. In a March 12th post, Crazy Eyes Malkin criticizes a New York Times article about the boy because, Malkin, quote, it failed to mention that Owen's grandmother and family have been longtime activists for the left-wing single-payer advocates of the Washington Community Action Network, or that the boy and his grandmother traveled to Washington with sponsorship from the Healthcare for America Now outfit. Jesus God. And then these filthy blood drinkers over at newsbusters.com, an assembly of scum, if ever they existed on the internet, they wrote The 11-year-old has, quote, entire family of liberal activists. Some pig at Newsbusters, some subhuman named Scott Whitlock, wrote that, quote, Owen's entire family have been members of the liberal Washington Community Action Network. Jesus, God. I swear to God, you people, the day's coming. The day is coming. The day is coming. Limbaugh's, you know, these right-wing sons of bitches, these cockroaches have a history of mocking people who can't defend themselves, uninsured, poor people, unemployed, people on welfare, people standing in the unemployment lines, trying to get unemployment health insurance. Look at this senile son of a bitch from Tennessee, Jim Bunning. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. But these multimillionaire media figures, why don't you guys just shut your goddamn mouths? Do you have to attack people like this? Of course you do, because you are not human. Limbaugh's health care plan, quote, if you don't have any teeth, so what? What's applesauce for? That was responding to a story that Representative Louise Slaughter, a Democrat in New York, told about a woman who wore dentures that previously belonged to her dead sister because she lacked insurance and couldn't afford to buy her own. So Limbaugh says, if you don't have any teeth, so what? What's applesauce for? You son of a bitch. I swear to God, Limbaugh, the time is coming. I promise you. I promise you. Cowardly, disgusting, spineless, immoral, multimillionaire bastards. Every one of these people.
I've got 20 million listeners a week, Malloy. How many you got?
And you might like this. This is from Auburn Hills. I'm sarcasm mode is still on. Auburn Hills, Michigan police are seeking information about who's responsible for taking those little plastic Easter eggs you buy at the drugstore and taking out little bits of candy and replacing the candy with racist and anti-gay flyers inside plastic Easter eggs and then tossing them onto the lawns of people that live in Auburn Hills. The flyers listed a website for the Aryan Nations, white nationalist neo-Nazi organization. Jesus, God.
America, one flying monkey at a time. It's more Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour, letter here from Mark in New York. Some thoughts on recently graduating. Mike, several months ago, my girlfriend, a recent college graduate like myself, applied to City Year, an AmeriCorps program that places tutors, young adults, age 17 to 24, in the country's, quoting from their website, most underprivileged, low-income schools, end quote. She heard from them yesterday that she didn't get accepted, a decision the letter attributed to the incredible number of applicants this year. Well, this may be a standard letter of rejection and perhaps hasn't changed in many years. The phrasing speaks to the current unemployment situation. For one thing, the program provides roughly $800 a month for a minimum of 40 hours of work a week. And two, it explicitly states on their website that most AmeriCorps members apply for government food assistance in order to make ends meet. though perhaps slightly different, given the goal of AmeriCorps is bringing people together for a year of service as opposed to handing out entry-level positions. In a typical employment environment, you'd expect that a job that encourages you to apply for food stamps would have difficulty filling its positions, possibly requiring a very slick advertising campaign to draw recent graduates into its ranks. This also puts into perspective the internship culture that is really starting to get under my skin. Two of my roommates, both college seniors, have interned for the past 4 years and have made a net profit of zero. Both of them are trying to get their respective bosses to start paying them as of September so they can start making a living, but are being told that they will be replaced unless they can continue to work for nothing. Another friend of mine graduated last year, quitting her internship in order to find a paying job. Several months later, she magically found herself interning for two different nonprofits, one of which was in the United Nations, making zero for a 60-hour work week. Are we seeing an expanding trend in which college graduates are going to be expected to work in unpaid internships indefinitely? I wouldn't be surprised if we see the growing class divide expressed in yet another way. Those recent graduates who are privileged enough to continue to work for free, being supported by their parents, and so on, and those graduates for whom an unpaid job is impossible to contemplate. I know which group I fall into. For the last 4 years, my girlfriend and I have both had to work indescribably bad New York service jobs. A lot of the people she worked with were recent college grads trying to supplement their own internship fantasies. A few were Emerson graduates, a manager from Wellesley, and others from NYU, the New School, UC Berkeley, Oberlin, University of Michigan. You get the idea. As for me, I quit my job last month after they tried to extend our hours to keep the place open 24 hours a day. I was making a staggering $1.50 an hour in cash under the table, and no, that's not a typo. Keeping it lit, Mark in New York. You got to wonder sometimes, don't you, where the country is really heading. Who is sucking all the wealth out of the United States? Where's it going? Who's taking it? College graduates, high school graduates, dropouts, people who don't complete educational plans for whatever reason, whether it's high school, college, no money, tuition going up, way up. Schools dropping courses in the public school system all over the country. I heard today that Detroit is closing about half of their city schools. What did we talk about last night? 21,000 school teachers in the state of California sent pink slips. And then we have filth like Michelle Bachmann, filth like Limbaugh and Beck, agitating. Pushing, not for solutions, but for trouble, for fighting, for anger and rage, because these rancid son of a bitches enjoy it. From their multi-million dollar positions, they can sit on their large, insulated asses and watch. Watch the fun. Go into their radio studios and their television studios every day and increase the level of tension, stress, and anxiety every single day, doing nothing to offer any kind of solution, solace, nothing. Well, those who live by the sword, even if it's a verbal sword, usually die by the same instrument, don't they? Where's that? Is that in the Bible? Is that Socratic? Where does that come from? Is that Lao Tzu? Who said that? Those who live by the sword. You know. What a mess. All right, when we come back, we have a Kay Petrini report card, our education affairs correspondent in San Francisco, and also a missive from Prairie 2, our economic affairs correspondent, both of which will capture your attention and hold you spellbound. So, I get so enraged. A concerted effort to go after an 11-year-old kid who said, my mom died because she couldn't get health insurance. My mom died. And these gross, degenerate, multimillionaire son of a rats on television and radio and the internet just rip him to pieces. You cowardly, cowardly scum. Does Garrison Keillor know about this? There is a fundraiser planned for Michelle Bachmann in April. And Sarah Palin is going to make an appearance. The event is going to be held at the Minneapolis Hilton Hotel. The fundraiser will feature a dinner, reception, and a photo op. According to the Bachmann campaign, Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty, former Minnesota Senator Norm Coleman, and several members of Congress are part of the host committee for the fundraiser. Now, Bachmann and Palin, right? Spokes bitches for the people, right? Well, if you would like your picture taken with these two cretins, it'll cost you 10 grand. That's right. According to the invitation, attendees at the April 7th event in Minneapolis are asked to spend $500 per person just to get in the door. $5,000 for a table of 10. $10,000 per couple for a private reception with photo op. $10,000 per couple to have your picture taken with two psychopaths. Son of a bitch. This is insane. This is madness. People in Minnesota, I don't quite understand what y'all are doing up there. You ought to put a sign up at every one of the interstate entrances into that state that says Bachmann, or not Bachmann, but Palin, get your ass out of here. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. $10,000 a couple to have your picture taken with Bachmann and Palin. Ron writes, Malloy, I'm thinking about several years ago when Republicans got a bill passed that was narrowly defeated on the first vote. The Republican speaker refused to gavel the vote closed and held it open while Republican fence sitters were having their arms twisted. This went on until 3 or 4 a.m. And the moment the bill was leading the vote, that was when the speaker gaveled the vote closed. It's like a baseball game in which the umpire kept saying, let's play another inning, until the first time the home team is actually ahead. And then the umpire calls it a game. It was disgusting and outrageous. And now these Republican hypocrites are complaining about Democrats using, quote, narrow procedural rules, end quote, to get health care reform passed. Not that it really is health care reform, but that's another issue. Ron. Yeah, what was it? I think it was one of the, tax breaks for the wealthy? Remember that? And they had allocated like 4 hours for discussion, and it went on for like 14. And all the Democrats in Congress did was bitch about a little bit and complain a little bit, and then, just went home. God, Democrat members of Congress are stupid. Oh, I'm sorry. Democratic members of Congress are stupid. All right, from Prairie 2, our Economic Affairs correspondent, living without Tickle Me Elmo. 120 members of Congress delivered a letter to the Obama administration formally requesting that the president declare the People's Republic of China to be a currency manipulator and apply the appropriate tariffs on imports from China. It had caused a minor stir when Treasury Secretary Geithner stated unequivocally in congressional testimony early last year that China was in fact doing this. It had been China's practice for more than 10 years, but nobody from the Clinton or Bush administration would say it out loud. Speculation had heated up that Obama might do something about trade with China after he imposed a 99% tariff on steel pipe in response to their dumping of that product into the U.S. market. This was something Bush had many opportunities to do, but never did even once, as industry after industry was wiped out. China now has a stranglehold on most of the vital segments of the U.S. economy as a result of this process. It completely escapes the people who hold up signs accusing Obama of being some sort of foreign infiltrator bent on destroying America. It's lost on them that the destruction has already been done. The letter from Congress was delivered on the eve of Obama's second Asia trip. He has only two scheduled stops coming up, one in Australia to address Parliament and a longer one in Indonesia, but no stops in Japan, China, or India. The accusation that they are manipulating their currency, the Chinese, doesn't make China very happy. They have complained to the multinational corporations that govern the United States about the insult, and they expect corrective action to be taken. They've complained to the multinational corporations that govern the United States. Candidate Obama said repeatedly that our trade deals needed to be revisited. But President Obama's people have been saying protectionism was a dangerous idea. Indeed, with many of Obama's appointees still not confirmed by the Senate after over a year, any crisis needs to be avoided. With most consumer goods coming from China and 80% of pharmaceuticals coming from India and China, it would be a disruption most Americans are not equipped to deal with. Indeed, what industry the U.S. still has would come to a grinding halt as parts and vital materials ran out. The U.S. dollar's legal tender would also be a problem with any trading partners we had left, for they would be concerned about being paid. Across the board, rationing of consumer goods ended for the last time in the U.S. 65 years ago. Gas shortages in the 70s resulted in fistfights and shootings. A rush for Tickle Me Elmo dolls produced a riot. So how dangerous will cold, hungry, and unmedicated Americans be? Especially when most of them think a Kenyan-born Nazi, communist, Muslim, liberal is to blame. I guess we will find out. Prairie 2. You can go to his website. PrairieNumeral2.com. The compensation of Blue Cross executives. This was put together by Mike Coleus yesterday. Blue Cross executives' compensation soars as controversy rages over health insurance premium increases. That's what it says. Executives at Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois. This is from the, is it from the Chicago Business Newspaper? Executives at Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois corporate parent pocketed big bonuses last year as more people lost health insurance and rising premiums put insurers at the center of a political maelstrom. It's just incredible. Here's some total compensation. Ray McCaskey, the former CEO of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, saw a 48% increase over his 2008 paycheck. He got $15.7 million. Patricia Hemingway Hall, the current CEO of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, her paycheck was $8.7 million, which is an increase over 2008 of 62%. Ray Angeli, former executive vice president, he got a paycheck in 2009 for $6.4 million, which was a 257% increase over 2008. Denise Bujak, chief financial officer, she made $3.5 million, which was a 54% increase from the previous year. And Patrick O'Connor, the chief human resources officer, he made $3.5 million, which was a 62% increase over 2008. The company revised up its bonus program, in their words, quote, to reflect current market competitive talent practices, end quote. The company went on to say, quote, to manage a business of this size and complexity, our compensation must be competitive to attract the industry's best and brightest, end quote. So there you have it. Tens of millions of dollars, bonus increases averaging at least 40%. Jesus, God.
Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
It's about 22 past the hour. What we're quoting here is Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, according to Chicago Business Newspaper. Corporate parent pocketing enormous bonuses as people lose health insurance and premiums are rising to the extent that people can no longer afford it. They quote some people here who have had Blue Cross. Here's a couple. A woman, Linda Charrington, who along with her husband owns a design and building company in Wheaton, Illinois. After 10 years at Blue Cross, they switched the company's coverage to another insurer last year when their premiums jumped 45%. She says, quote, it's greedy and outrageous for them to make huge profits and bonuses when small businesses like ours are dropping their coverage because they can't afford it, end quote. Executives' pay at Health Care Service Corporation. The pay has risen sharply in recent years, according to state records in Illinois, including the 2009 compensation. This guy McCaskey took in $36 million over a three-year stretch. He was the highest-paid CEO among Blue Cross operators during that time. Mr. McCaskey's pay surpassed even that of the chief of Indianapolis-based WellPoint, Inc., the nation's largest health insurer, whose 2009 revenue of $65 billion tripled that of healthcare service. Oh, my God. It's astonishing. You right-wing pigs, are you happy to do that? Huh? You people that stand there in the muck while these insane members of Congress scream socialism at you, are you happy? Isn't this does this make you feel good? Huh? Does it make you feel good, you morons? Wow. It's incredible. Benedict at Large writes, regarding the situation in the Texas school books, he writes, "Thank you, Texas. I've been fretting about the Texas school board nonsense since becoming aware of it, but it's possible that Texas may actually have done us a big favor. For the last 30 years, you see, the neo-Confederate hard right has claimed that their gripes were all about modern liberalism and especially the New Deal of FDR. If only we could return to the founders' ideals, they claimed, all would be made right. We who studied the history knew otherwise, of course. The facts of that history simply didn't support their idealisms of it. In removing Jefferson, however, they have finally exposed their true colors to the light of day. Jefferson was the embodiment of the Enlightenment. And as he and his contemporaries formed the young country, it was Enlightenment thought that guided their hands in that creation. And the rejection of Jefferson by Texas then, what they're really rejecting is the entirety of Enlightenment thought. It is no wonder, then, that they also chose to exorcise in all of its forms the word democracy from their textbooks. These are things they want nothing of. So thank you, Texas. You and all the rest of the neo-Confederate America, up until now, only those of us who peered behind your veil of dishonesty could sense what you're really up to. Now all the world can see. Benedict. Yeah, well, that's true, Benedict, except, you know, there's nothing, no one so blind as those who will not see, and the willful ignorance that is displayed by the people of Texas. And it has to be willful ignorance, because if it were not, the people of Texas, upon hearing this, would have risen as a mass and said, no, goddammit, we are not going to play Jesus boy. We are going to try to get our children educated. Nah. People do not want education. They simply don't want it. Well, for the people who listen to this program and a few other ones, what's your plan? I mean, what are you going to do with the fact that the country is being driven into a garbage disposal unit? Chopped it, liquefied, chopped into bits, flushed down the drain. What are you going to do? You're going to stick around and try to tough it out? We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. The end of the tunnel was nothing but a burglar's tone. And them that was caught in a cup are all rich and free. But they chained my mind to an endless tomb when they took my only son.
Mike Malloy.
It's 25 before the hour, and it's time for Kay Petrini's report card. I think.
Teach your children well. As their father's hell did slowly go by. And feed.
Tonight's report is The Past Is Never Dead. Hey, Mike. Today's U.S. history lesson hopefully illustrated that the past is not over, unfortunately. The assignment in my class was to read two short articles on two current events and to link the information back to what we have studied up to this point. The first item ran in the San Francisco Chronicle on Saturday and outlines plans to build a municipal park on Native American land. Specifically, the park's blueprints call for constructing restrooms on a sacred burial ground of the Ohlone tribe. I'm not kidding. We spent a lot of time at the beginning of the school year talking about Native Americans and their relationship with the land, so students had no trouble pointing out what they called the disrespect being shown to the Ohlones. With some prompting from me, students linked back to colonial history, Cherokee removal, and an article we read earlier in the year about plans to build a Wizard of Oz theme park on sacred Native American land in Kansas. The second article was about the fire that occurred at a factory belonging to the clothing retailer H&M in Bangladesh. 21 people died in the blaze, and many more were injured because there were no working fire extinguishers in the building. The student reaction included, what were people doing in that factory at 9 o'clock at night? Why weren't there any fire extinguishers? Where were the fire escapes? Were kids working in the factory? When I asked students why they were asking these specific questions, they quickly linked back to the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire, the Progressive Movement, and President Theodore Roosevelt. Full disclosure, we just covered this material a couple of weeks ago, so it's still fresh in their minds. We then got into a discussion about globalization and its impact. I asked the students why a Swedish-based company like H&M would have factories in Bangladesh, and they immediately replied, quote, because it costs a lot less, end quote. Some said, quote, because they can get away with not having fire escapes, end quote. We then talked about the United States and the just-released statistic that America's trade deficit with China now stands at 4-1. The kids immediately figured out that American companies have shipped jobs to China for the same reason that H&M has been doing business in Bangladesh. So today was just another reminder that, as William Faulkner observed, the past is never dead. It's not even past. And how tragic. K. P.S. A quick follow-up on the issue of the Texas Board of Education and school textbooks. A good friend pointed out to me that emblazoned on the cover of every one of the textbooks we use at our school are the words, California Edition. In other words, the publishers must publish to individual state standards or lose the sale. For teachers and students at my school, this means that Gary Nash's American Odyssey, for example, will not be bastardized by Texas cretins. But for teachers and students in Texas and other red states, well, all I can say is I'm certainly glad that I'm in California. K.
Your children well, 'cause their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams.
K. Petrini is a school teacher in San Francisco, and you can read her blogs at kaysreportcard.com. K's, K-A-Y-S, reportcard.com. K's reportcard.com. So check out what she writes. Let's open up the phones and see what you got to say. The number here is 877-996-2556. 877-996-2556. I've been building sort of a file on this sex crime scandal that's ripping across Europe, starting in Germany, this one. The Vatican office that handled sex crimes by their clergy was run at the time by Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, you know, Pope Benedict. And, of course, he was running the office, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. That's the same office that carried out the Inquisition. And apparently Ratzinger decided that priests referred to him when he oversaw this office. He just repositioned them. He sent them to other parishes. So Pope Benedict can't really be shocked and dismayed like he tried to pretend he was by the pedophile priest epidemic in the Catholic Church. And according to City of Angels Network, I think this is posted by Kay Ebeling, Pope Benedict is guilty. He is guilty. Ratzinger is guilty of condoning and in condoning, encouraging pedophilia within this corrupt institution that is known as the Catholic Church. Now, this is not new stuff. According to whom? Where are we here? Hold on a second. Catholic scholar Jay Nelson, who is, I don't mean he is a Catholic, I mean he follows this kind of stuff. He writes that in the mid-17th century, the Roman Inquisition even took down an entire religious order for child sexual abuse. The Piarists, an honored, successful teaching congregation of priests with schools for poor boys across Italy, had been taken over by a pedophile ring. That was in the 1600s. Oh, my God. Why is the Catholic Church still in existence? Anyway, at some point, hopefully we will get to this horrific scandal that has been enveloping the church in Germany, Ireland, just, I guess, anywhere there is a Catholic church, a Catholic hierarchy, you are going to find sexual predators, liars, people who, I still don't get how these people can continue to pretend like they are teaching the gospel of Jesus, if such a thing even existed, and be continuously and without let up molesting children, little boys and little girls. Associated Press headlines it this way: child abuse claims sweep Catholic Church in Europe. And here's another headline: child sex abuse scandal has now reached the Pope. Oh, my God. This one says, Germany's sex abuse scandal has now reached Pope Benedict XVI. His former archdiocese disclosed that while he was archbishop, a suspected pedophile priest was transferred to a job where he later abused children. Well, if they're talking about one, you know there were probably dozens, scores, hundreds. Pope is also under increasing fire for a 2001 Vatican document he later penned, instructing bishops to keep such cases secret. To keep such cases secret. The Pope. Keep the cases secret. The guy, Ratzinger, who ran the office that conducted the Inquisition 400 years ago. Keep it quiet. Keep it a secret. Don't let anyone know that we molest children, that we are pedophiles, that we are a sick goddamn institution that should have been burned off the face of the earth centuries ago. Keep it secret. Keep it secret. Everybody keep your mouth shut and you can continue to molest the children. Keep it secret. These revelations have put the spotlight on Benedict's handling of abuse claims, both when he was Archbishop of Munich from 1977 to 1982, and then the prefect of the Vatican office that deals with such crimes, a position he held until his 2005 election as Pope. For 30 years, this piggish, degenerate individual, I wonder how many Ratzinger molested. And the AP says it may lead to further questions about what the pontiff knew about the scope of abuse in his native Germany, when he knew it, what he did about it during his tenure in Munich. Good God. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Miller. We have a couple open lines here if you want to jump in. 877-996-2556.
Losing hope is easy. When your only friend is gone, and every time you look around, well, it all just seems to change. When you've got a friend to call, when nothing's making sense at all.
It's about 10 before the hour.
Money's good. Work's okay.
Charles is in Key Largo. Charles, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. First time caller. Been listening to you a long time. I think I caught one of your programs about 11:30 several years ago, driving through Miami, driving home one night.
Did it freak you out?
Well, it freaked me out because this guy talks like the way I feel.
Right.
So I can't say I listen to you every night because I got to get up early in the morning. But
I hear you.
But I try to tune in two or three nights a week.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
And right now, of course, once you guys had to go to the internet, I mean, I think there are some stations that still carry your broadcast, but I can't pick them up around here. So
We used to be on WINZ in Miami, but they decided to add a fifth sports station to the Miami market because there's so many sports fans in Miami, I guess.
Well, that was a horrible day in my life when I realized I turned 940 on and all of a sudden it was no longer programs I wanted to listen to.
Yeah, I hear you.
Your wife asked me why I called and what I wanted to comment on. You asked a few minutes ago the question, what are we going to do? The country they have grounded up into pieces, and they are, they're getting their workforce in line to be their slaves, which is the way I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to a friend up in Ohio tonight, a fellow I went to high school with, I've known for 40 years. He made a comment that Joseph Stalin. Stalin once said that power only understands violence. And I know that that's not pretty, but when you think about it, I mean, what turned around what was happening in France with the aristocracy there?
The terror.
It was terror. And I don't know that you and I are going to live to see it here, but I think if things continue the way they're going in this country, to where, people are trying to live off the crumbs from a few people that control all the wealth, that it will come to that someday here. I mean, I'd like to be around to see it if they actually make it come to that, but I don't think we're going to live long enough. I don't think the people get fed up fast enough for that to happen.
Well, things seem to be regressing at a ever faster pace. I mean, every time every time I turn around, every time I pick up a newspaper or turn on television or whatever the case is, and see more madness out there. You know, as much as I don't like John McCain, I would go to work for him in Arizona if it meant stopping the psychopathic J.D. Hayworth that's running against him. Right. And Hayworth will probably beat him. There is something really vile and ugly that is occurring in this country. It seems to be a coming together of religious madness and general ignorance and fear, anxiety. I think people are starting to get right up to the verge of panic. I was talking to somebody today. We were driving through the suburbs of Atlanta, heading into Atlanta. And I, you know, he was driving. I said, look, you look out the window of a car and everything just looks normal. I mean, you wouldn't believe that this collective insanity is just crushing this country. And you know, Carl Sagan in his last book before he died, he wrote with his wife, I believe, and the title was The Demon Haunted World.
I read that book. Yeah. It wasn't his last book.
That wasn't?
No, there was one other one that he was writing while he was dying that I've read that one also. But yeah, I've read The Demon Haunted World.
But the idea that science and logic and reason is being pushed aside, crushed, belittled, denigrated, so that religious insanity and superstition and ghosts and demons and angels and all this nonsense is
back into the darkness.
Oh my God! This is the part. Rewriting textbooks, denying the science of 8 or 9 different disciplines where it concerns natural selection and the natural inclination of organisms to evolve, chaos theory, the age of the universe, all of this stuff that is just denied by people. And they say, no, we're waiting for the rapture, and you sinners are going to burn in a lake of fire somewhere forever. I mean, this is madness.
Well, Mike, do you think that the 1% that control 95 or 98% of the wealth or whatever, do you think they believe in these gods?
No.
No, they don't.
No, of course not.
But they want, you know, they want these subservient slaves to have these beliefs.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
they want us to be dumbed down. They want that. That's what's going on with the Texas school board. It's going to control a lot of what a lot of the states have on their textbooks now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I don't. I'm sorry. I see the only way out as a reign of terror. I mean, I don't know what I don't think that people want to sit around and reason anymore.
No. I think most Americans, I don't know what it's like in the rest of the world, but most Americans are terrified of logic. They're terrified of reason. They find great comfort in religious superstition and nonsense and the fluttering of angels' wings and the promise of a soft landing with some sky cloud being. It's just unbelievable. Charles, I got to leave it there. Thanks for checking in.
Hey, really, I'll be calling you more often. Thanks a lot.
All right, take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program with, according to our engineer, all sorts of problems tonight. Well, we do what we can. So, we're certainly getting the emails from people who have noticed problems in the reception of the program. All I can say is we're working on it. Right, Ms. Engineer? Right. Brent is listening on Sirius, driving in West Texas. Hello, Brent.
Good evening, Mike.
Hi.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. The reason I'm calling is this. I make a good living right now, currently driving a truck. My employer doesn't offer me insurance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get skinned alive, and I don't trust insurance companies. Why have I not had the option for my senators and congressmen to go in on Monday, fill out a new W-2 with something checked that says, yes, start taking health care out of my paycheck? I'll pay for it, people.
Right.
Just give me the option to buy what you guys get.
Right, exactly.
I mean, why aren't they saying this, Mike? Because that would be immediate competition for the insurance companies, mm-hmm. and it could buy off the right, because now they're not just giving it away. You know, there's people out here who are willing to pay for it, but here's the only caveat. What would probably happen, Mike, is immediately they might come up with this and do it, and then what would they do? They would contract it out to one of the 3 or 4 insurance companies who are already getting it anyway. So how are we ever going to stop this, man?
Well, if we ever have leadership in this country that realizes the United States at this point in its existence, whatever's left of it, we've got to have single-payer health care, which means no co-pays, no premiums, no deductibles. It's just that everybody chips in. Everybody pays whatever it is, $5, $6, $8, $10 a month forever. And out of that huge pool of money comes single-payer health insurance, where the single payer is us, the government. It's handled by the government, but it's us. We're all chipping in, and everybody has to do it, just like Social Security. You know, if you're 18 years old and you have a job, you can't say, no, don't take Social Security out of my paycheck. It comes out anyway. So
yes.
A health insurance premium, a deduction has to work that way. The more people make, if you're up in that $5 to $10 to $15 to $20 million a year income bracket, then by God, you're going to pay 5, 8, 9, 10% of that enormous pile of money that goes into the pool. And if people don't like it, then get the hell out of the country. Go someplace else. Go someplace else and screw the citizens of that country. We've had enough of it here.
Can I ask you one more time, too? Have you heard anyone talking about this option, allowing part of the middle class that, if, you know, I make enough that I'm going to be left out anyway. I'm always left out. I make enough that I could use some assistance. But I'm not going to get any because I do make that much. Have you heard anyone talking about this as an option, allowing people who are earning a wage and paying their taxes the option of filling out a new W-2 and take it out of my paycheck?
No.
What do you think about that? Mull it over the next few days. See what you think about it.
That sounds fine to me. That essentially is what it would be like with single-payer health insurance. That's essentially how it would be paid for, with a deduction out of your paycheck.
Sure.
But apparently, you know, there are about 5 or 6 or 7 industries in this country that have a death hold on our political system, and they're not going to give it up. And it's going to continue until they can't squeeze any more out of us. And then what? I don't know. I have no idea. Listen, drive safe, Brent, okay?
Hey, let me ask you one more thing,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Tell me about this. Tell me if this doesn't bother you. I think it probably does. What is it about being a politician or a senator or a congressman? What is it about that job that requires you to wear a suit and tie? I think we ought to outlaw that form of separation. You people need to dress like common people from here on out. There is nothing. I mean, I can understand if you're a logger, you have certain clothes you need to wear.
Right.
There's nothing that requires you put that costume on.
That's true. That's true.
Anyway, brother, peace out. I'm out of here.
All right, Brent, thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in. Now, we ought to go to Malloy's brand of democratic socialism. I've said it before. Ownership of 5 or 6 key industries have got to pass to the people. In other words, be nationalized. Banking, energy, healthcare, transportation, and weapons production. Weapons production specifically with the goal of eliminating it altogether. And then everything else, small businesses, family farms, high-tech firms, all sorts of startup businesses, left completely alone. Do the entrepreneurship till hell freezes over. Go for it. Do whatever you want to do. As long as labor and environmental laws are followed, you know, safety laws, labor laws, you can't, you know, open up a little business and hire six-year-olds to come in and work for you. You know what I'm saying. But it seems to me, and in there, the health care, the nationalized health care, I think, is what he was talking about, what our caller was talking about. Just why does that scare right-wingers to the point where they urinate all over themselves? They just go crazy. Or if they're like Bachman and Palin, the rest of them, they figure out a way to make money on this. What is it about Americans that the idea of nationalized health care or nationalized banking industry or energy or transportation or weapons production, why does that cause these right-wingers to start frothing at the mouth and their eyes roll up in their heads and they start screaming socialism and Hugo Chavez and go to Cuba? What the hell is wrong with these people? I mean, what is, why do we have so many just absolute cowards in this country who honestly believe that nationalizing those five industries would somehow end and freedom? What freedom, you clown? What freedom do you have now? I'll tell you what freedom you've got right now. You've got a freedom to starve. You got a freedom to be sick and die because you can't afford health insurance. You got the freedom to be screwed over by the financial services industry over and over and over again. You got the freedom to be forced to spend 16 hours on an airplane that normally a flight would take 5 hours because transportation doesn't give a goddamn about you. You have the freedom never to understand what it'd be like to travel on a well-developed high-speed rail system in this country. Man, that's your freedom, you clowns, you stupid clowns. You think you're free? Okay. Well, freedom comes after you die and, you know, the baby Jesus sucks you up into the sky and you can spend the next 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, doing what? Singing hymns? Oh, my God. It's astonishing. And it's just amazing to watch the teabaggers and the Bachman freaks and all these people standing around listening to these speeches and cheering. And by looking at the crowd, I mean, come on, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out a lot of those people are in their mid to late 60s, which means every single one of the sons of bitches are drawing some kind of government subsidized payment, whether it's Medicare or Social Security or government insured retirement plan, whatever's left of that. I mean, it just goes on. And yet there they are sucking around these zombie women acting as though they're missing out on something. It's incredible. And again, the key to all this is the racism. The key to every single anti-Obama attitude, whether it comes from the Republican Party or these right-wing ghouls that are eating our media alive, it doesn't make any difference. It all comes back down to simple, blatant, American-style racism. It is 21 past the hour.
Hey Joe, where you going with that?
All right, phone calls. Yeah, I think we're going to go back to phone calls.
You can take your revenge.
Mary writes, so what are we going to do? Because I brought this up again. Just curious. I'm just curious what other people have in mind about how to handle what is confronting rational, intelligent people in this country. I'm not talking about the crazies. The crazies are already completely over the hill, whether it is political craziness or religious craziness. They're gone. But for people who still believe in the goal that was laid out by the founders of this country, not their actual applicable activities, but the goal. You know, Franklin or one of them said, look, we're giving you a document. We're giving you a republic. Let's see if you can hang on to it. We expect things to change over the years. But rational people in this country, I'm talking about working class, middle class, truck drivers, college graduates who can't find a job, factory workers, small farmers, the small business class, you know, people who maybe have a couple of years of college and they decide to open up a shop doing whatever. And usually it's them and their brother-in-law or somebody, and then they hire a couple more people, and the first thing you know, of course, there's a lot of web enterprises going on right now, too, that seem to have a very heavy female presence. I was just reading something in the New York Times the other day about web businesses that have been started by women, and it seems to be the preponderance of web businesses are ones owned by females. So all these people who are still trying to, you know, put things together, to make it happen, to provide sanity for their children and grandchildren, and who are just being devoured by these right-wing maniacs. So what's going to happen? That's the question I tossed out. And Mary writes, somebody, was it Abby Hoffman, said there was no neutral position in a revolution. You're either on one side or the other. And a now-deceased veteran friend of mine likewise said, quote, the first one that breaks in my door, I'm shooting him and joining the other side, end quote. Here, Mary writes, we're still hoping that our son can leave the country, but at this point we don't have much optimism that such a move will help. We think the reaction, the rebellion against this corporatist takeover of human dignity is going global. In any case, we have no money to go to any presumed safe place, so we're following Prairie 2's advice, excuse me, and stocking up on canned goods and dehydrated goods. Water's another matter. And in line with Bob Superbean's advice, we don't buy Monsanto GMO Frankenfoods anymore. As sort of a P.S., I note that the New York Daily News, which has been taking belligerently anti-U.S., belligerently pro-Israel stands, has Charles Krauthammer, Ann Bayefsky, and S.E. Cupp of Fox News as featured columnists. Krauthammer is a PNAC signatory, and both he and Bayefsky are Hudson Institute fellows. The Hudson Institute, of course, is a right-wing organization heavily funded by the military-industrial pharmaceutical biotechnology complex. That old complex gets bigger every day, doesn't it? In further news, Comcast has proclaimed that its subscribers are no longer allowed to receive newsletters from Citizens for Legitimate Government, a rather decent left-wing site. Just another example of media control. Ugh. Mary. I didn't know that about Citizens for Legitimate Government. I get their, I've been getting, of course, we don't have Comcast. I've been getting their emails all the time. Citizens for Legitimate Government, huh? Scandal in Germany edges closer to Pope. What's going to happen? That scandal, that sex scandal, fascinates me because I don't think you'll find more of a raging adversary to the institution of the Catholic Church than moi. I don't need to, you know, just like every time I talk about Israel, I have to qualify it and say, you know, I'm not anti-Semitic. Every time I talk about the corruption and the horror that is the Catholic Church, I have to qualify and say I'm not talking about individual Catholics who may have contributed everything up to and including their lives to this corrupt institution. But I wonder what it's going to take to slam the door on the Catholic Church forever, to just bring it crashing down, to see, you know, to see the whole corrupt enterprise end. The pedophile scandals have been going on for centuries. That doesn't seem to do it for some reason. What does it take? Even when their own proclaimed savior declared that children were sanctified, and apparently the Catholic Church hierarchy doesn't give a damn about that. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us.
Seekers, here's the truth speaker, Mike Malloy.
Before the hour. Boy, I don't know why it took so long to come across this. It's from a few months ago. Michelle Bachman and her husband own a mental health clinic in Minnesota. Says, I didn't believe this at first when someone said it on a comments thread, but it's true. BachmanCounseling.com. And the writer says, make sure to take the time to go to the list of counselors and browse down. They must have found every Bible college mental health professional in Minnesota. Who knew there would even be that many? They accept most insurance plans, including, one assumes, payment from those dreadful government-run ones. There's nothing like doing the Lord's work, ministering to the populace for Caesar's good green money, much better than doing it free like Jesus suggested. And then the writer goes on, this is really horrifying. It's one thing to think of the Bachmans as rubes who don't understand healthcare, but these people have specific high-level experience with the very issues they're bamboozling their listeners about. They know perfectly well that a living will isn't the same as encouragement to commit suicide. They understand end-of-life and grief issues and, in fact, will counsel your kid about them for a fee, possibly throwing in a bit of religious opinion at the same time. This is on their website. Most of all, they understand, because they take insurance, how hard it is to get insurance companies to cover for mental health and how poor people are just out in the cold if they try to get anyone to see them. They know this, the Bachmans, but in order to protect their friends, their asses, and their pocketbooks, they fight reform anyway. It's even more disgusting that they use religion as a cover for this blatant insular commercialism. I'll bet Christ is so pissed. The most disturbing thing about this is that she would be involved in the mental health industry at all, based on the fact that she seems to be clinically insane. Remember, she said she told a crowd at a Denver gathering sponsored by the so-called Independence Institute. She said, this cannot pass. What we have to do today is make a covenant to slit our wrists. Remember that? Be blood brothers on this thing. This will not pass. We will do whatever it takes to make sure this doesn't pass. Health insurance. Slit our wrists? Jesus Christ. So how about that? She and her husband own now, members of Congress are not allowed to have outside jobs. So, well, owning is not running. I'm sure they have people who run it for them. Bachman Counseling. Oh, my God. Would you go to Michelle Bachman for mental health counseling? Meet Dr. Bachman. Who is this? Is this her husband? Yeah, it's her husband. Ah! There's a picture of her and her husband. Dr. Marcus Bachman. Oh, here you go. Dr. Bachman received his master's degree in education counseling from Regent University. what's his name? Who's the guy on the 700 Club? Pat Robertson's University. Dr. Marcus and his wife, Congresswoman Michelle Bachman, are the parents of five children, foster parents to more than 20. Well, they have two locations, Lake Elmo and Burnsville. Whew. Oh, my God. We accept most insurance plans. This is bizarre. Did any of you people know this and you didn't tell your humble and obedient servant, Uncle Mike here, that this psychopath and her husband own a counseling service? Lake Elmo, Minnesota. Well, there you go. No wonder she's... I don't get this. You know, they're in the health care business, and health insurance reform would only benefit them. They're not a health insurance company. They take health insurance payments. What a hypocritical son of a bitch. This is astonishing. A mental health clinic, and she's lying to people and telling people to slit their wrists and join... commingle their blood. Check it out. Check it out. Bachman, B-A-C-H-M-A-N-N, BachmanCounseling.com. Go take a look. Did you all know this? Oh, you little devils. You didn't tell Uncle Mike. I wonder how many people do know this. Oh, well. William is in Kinston, North Carolina, listening on XM. Hey, William.
Yeah.
Hello.
Let me get to the most important question to start with.
Okay.
You playing some Carly Simon music?
Yeah.
You know the name of the CD or whatever it is? I haven't heard from her in a long time.
It's a compilation of her songs. It's just Coming Around Again, you know, the
coming
title.
Coming Around Again.
Yeah, Coming Around Again.
I've heard of that,
yeah, well,
I haven't.
That's the title of one of her great big songs.
I remember.
That's the name of the CD, and it's just, a compilation of songs that she's done before.
Okay.
Kind of like a best of.
One of the most recent CDs I'd probably buy a copy of. Doesn't she predate you?
Who?
Carly.
Predate me?
Yeah, I mean, she was popular in the 70s.
Oh, hell, I'm old enough to be her father.
I had the impression earlier that you were something in your 20s.
I've got food in my refrigerator older than that, William. Good Lord.
How old are you?
I'm not going to tell you.
Well, I'll give you mine if you give me yours. Neither one have to tell the truth.
No, I had somebody tell me that one time, and I wound up with getting a girl pregnant. So, no.
Well, I know a joke about that, but it goes on and on. I don't think I could get around to it.
And marrying her. I did get married, but, you know. So, what'd you call about?
I've got a couple of hypotheses. I wanted to see if we could agree on something.
Yeah.
I'm an amateur philosopher, I guess. I use the way you'd call me. Amateur, with the emphasis on amateur.
Well, I think all real philosophers are amateurs, aren't they?
Well, some of them get paid for it.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Intelligence is no impediment to bias.
Intelligence.
Agree or disagree?
Is no impediment?
Intelligence is no impediment to bias.
No, I disagree. I think that.
You think intelligence is?
It is a way of.
But not a cure? just a small impediment that can be overcome with the intelligence?
Yeah, I would think so. I think I would think so, because I believe that there's probably, I don't know this to be true, but I believe there is probably at some point in, well, we get into nurture and nature now, but at some point I would think children, well, I guess this is all nurture. They draw from their parents, whatever their parents' biases are. I don't think a bias against other people or other belief systems is genetic. I really don't. I think intelligence is a real strong bulwark against bias. Yes.
Well, I say it's no impediment for this reason. I've seen intelligent people with all kinds of doctorates after their names and things like that.
Well,
who can more easily hide their biases?
Yeah, but
nevertheless, when you dig deep enough, what you're left with is a bias that they themselves cannot explain.
Well, that's true, but a PhD after your name is only an indication of how far you went to get your education. I don't think it has anything to do with intelligence.
Okay, education and intelligence.
Education does not equal intelligence. Not to me, it doesn't. I mean, education may equal the ability to pass tests and
I agree with you there.
You know, fill in the blanks and
yeah.
But I think real intelligence, real critical thinking, has not a damn thing. Henry Ford, Thomas Edison, they didn't have PhDs. The Wright brothers didn't have PhDs. So
I still contend, leaving alone the educational part of it, Dan, that intelligence itself is no impediment to bias. I've seen intelligent people with biases.
Well,
you say, why do you like red? Well, red's my favorite color. Well, why do you like red? Why is red your favorite color?
All right, now,
and that's the same thing on the political scene.
Now, William, you're getting too loosey-goosey with me here.
All right, the other one is... The other hypothesis, I claim authorship of these until I see that I don't that they've been printed before.
All right, now I got a break here pretty quick, so go ahead. Forgot what you're going to say.
I wrote it down here, but I can't read my writing. Now that's only given identical set of circumstances. Intelligent people, reasonably intelligent people,
yeah,
can only disagree if they have a different God. In other words, whatever you believe,
yeah,
whatever your biases are, taking these two hypotheses together,
yeah,
leads you back to where to who your God is.
Well, that could be. William, you know what? But we're going to have to leave it there because I got to break. And my answer to all this is, I think my grandfather told me. My answer is very simple. It's crackers, the slip of Rossi, the dropsy, and snide. We'll be right back.
Life is funny. Skies are sunny. Bees make honey.
This is the Malloy program. Nan is calling from Madison, Wisconsin, listening to the mic. Hey, Nan.
Hi.
Hi.
At the top of the second hour, I think most of us caught only about one sentence of Prairie 2 because of transmission problems.
Yeah,
I was hoping if I said pretty please, if you would summarize what it was you said. I know Kay made a reference to it, something with respect to China that had been known back to the Clinton years. Could you fill me in?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, since we had such a miserable situation with... apparently an ISDN line here, an engineering problem. I'll just read it again. You want to hear it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Prairie 2 writes, 120 members of Congress delivered a letter to the Obama administration formally requesting that the president declare the People's Republic of China to be a currency manipulator and apply the appropriate tariffs to imports from China. It had caused a minor stir when Treasury Secretary Geithner stated unequivocally in congressional testimony early last year that China was, in fact, doing that. It had been China's practice for more than 10 years, but nobody, from Bill Clinton to the Bush administration, would say it out loud. Speculation had heated up that Obama might do something about trade with China after he imposed a 99% tariff on steel pipe in response to their dumping of that product into the U.S. market. This was something Bush had many opportunities to do, but never did, not even once, as industry after industry in this country was wiped out. China now has a stranglehold on most of the vital segments of the U.S. economy as a result of this process. It completely escapes the people who hold up signs accusing Obama of being some sort of foreign infiltrator bent on destroying America that the destruction they're talking about has already been done. The letter from Congress was delivered on the eve of Obama's second Asia trip, coming up soon. He has only two scheduled stops this time, one in Australia to address Parliament, and a longer one in Indonesia, but no stops in Japan, China, or India. The accusation that they are manipulating their currency doesn't make China very happy. In fact, they, the Chinese, have complained to the multinational corporations that govern the United States about the insult, and they expect corrective action to be taken. Candidate Obama said repeatedly that our trade deals needed to be revisited, but President Obama's people have been saying protectionism was dangerous. Indeed, with many of Obama's appointees still not confirmed by the Senate after over a year, any crisis needs to be avoided. With most consumer goods coming from China, and 80% of pharmaceuticals coming from India and China, it would be a disruption most Americans are not equipped to deal with. Indeed, what industry the U.S. still has would come to a grinding halt as parts and vital materials ran out. The U.S. dollar's legal tender would also be a problem with trading partners, any trading partners we had left, for they would be concerned about being paid. Across-the-board rationing of consumer goods ended for the last time in the United States 65 years ago. Gas shortages in the 70s resulted in fistfights and shootings at gas stations. A rush for Tickle Me Elmo dolls can produce a riot. How dangerous will cold, hungry, and unmedicated Americans be, especially when most of them think a Kenyan-born Nazi, communist, Muslim, liberal is to blame? I guess we'll find out. Pray to. You still there?
Yeah, I'm still there. Thank you for reading that.
Sure.
I appreciate it very much.
All right, Nan, take care.
Good night now.
Now, everybody should know you can get these also if you want. I decided to go ahead and read it again because we had so many problems the first 2 hours tonight. You can get all of Prairie 2's essays by going to prairie2.com. And you can also get Kay Petrini's reports, our education supervisor, by going to kaysreportcard.com. That's K-A-Y-S, kaysreportcard.com. Anita is in Minneapolis. Hey, Anita.
Hi.
Hi.
I go off on the Catholic Church whenever I have a chance, man. Thank you. Isn't that Interpol that's supposed to be doing something about this? Why doesn't somebody raid the Catholic Church? Is that because the Vatican is its own country and it would be declared an act of war?
I, You know, I don't know. I know in this country there is the separation of church and state that protects to a large extent.
That is such a bunch of crap. I can't.
Of course it is. It's an outrage. It's an outrage. But I think that the reason Jefferson wanted that written into our Constitution is because he was well aware of the corruption of the church becoming the state in so many instances in Europe over the previous 500, 600, 700 years. So he was trying, I think Jefferson and the framers, what they were trying to do is to keep it separate to protect the nation from the predations of the church. And I don't think there's any doubt what church he was talking about. He's talking about the Anglican Church, which is just an offshoot of the Catholic Church. Hey, I got to leave it there, Anita. I'm sorry. Let's talk tomorrow night. Call in tomorrow night. We'll pick up the conversation. Rough ride tonight. To our affiliates and everybody who is listening, we do apologize. Apparently we had an ISDN line problem. We'll have it taken care of. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.